no pensamento do dia está
Today's
escrito,
thought for the day
o místico
states
prático
that the practical
é a
mystic
maior força do mundo.
Is the world's greatest
então,
force.
Perguntaram
And so someone is asking,
um místico prático.
What is a practical mystic?
Para nós compreendermos bem o que é um
for
místico
us to
prático,
understand well what a practical mystic is all about,
ver o que é um místico,
we would have to look at
o que é ocultismo,
what it means to be a mystic
o místico
and the meaning of occultism.
É aquele que usa o
Because the practical mystic
é
is the one who uses occultism, who practices occultism.
Então, o misticismo
Now, mysticism
é uma fase
is a phase of our evolution
vida,
and of our life
qual todos nós temos que
that
passar.
All of us have to experience.
Ninguém evolui, ninguém entra
no
na
one evolves,
superior,
no one enters higher evolution without going
sem
through mysticism.
Uma vida mística,
without having a mystical life
que deve ser
or without having this tendency that is to be developed
numa outra coisa.
So that later it can be transformed into something else.
É
and what we call mysticism is this process
do nosso eu consciente com a
of
alma.
Putting our conscious
então,
self in touch with our soul.
Altura,
so at a certain point in our evolution, a phase begins, which is the phase
atraído,
for this conscious self to be drawn
é
toward the soul
que o
and to come close to the
então,
soul. It's during this phase that mysticism occurs.
Alma,
so when the conscious self is about to get in touch with the soul
longa,
and the soul
então
starts attracting the conscious self, this
o
is a long phase, and this is when
então,
mysticism begins to emerge in the individual. So while the individual does not have a conscious self that desires a higher contact, this individual is not a mystic, but simply an ordinary person. Now, when the conscious self begins to be attracted, or when the conscious self begins to desire a higher union, an inner union, this is where the mystical process begins.
Os desejos,
when
os
the mystical process begins
ações,
to take place, when the desires, the feelings, the thoughts, the actions all begin to interact with one another, and this is what happens in mysticism, because up till this point, feelings, desires, thoughts, actions were all disconnected or else concentrated on a material goal. On a human goal,
agora,
on an earthly
o
goal.
O desejo, o
but when desires, feelings, thoughts and actions begin to interact, begin to interrelate very intensely
desta outra coisa,
in the quest for this other thing, then the individual becomes a mystic. And as all this comes together, to the extent that feelings, desires,
vontade,
thoughts, actions and will develop in order to attain this union, this brings about the evolution of the mystic. Because until this union is attained, the individual treads the path of mysticism, that is, the individual follows the way of the unification of the desires, feelings, thoughts, and actions in order to seek something higher. Do you see what mysticism means? So mysticism is a state we all go through. In this mystical state, when desires, feelings, thoughts, and actions focus on the soul, this soul begins to draw together the forces of the personality, to control the personality. And so this conscious self begins to be elevated. It begins to get close to the soul. And when the conscious self is absorbed into the soul, when the soul manages to absorb this conscious self and to coordinate it fully, then the mystical process comes to an end and another process begins to take place in the individual, which is a process of unification with the monad, and it is not called the mystical process. It is another process that is not as gentle as mysticism. And it's a process that does not include feelings, desires, and thoughts that are being supported by the process, as happens in mysticism.
vai tentando.
During the mystical process, the soul attempts to make itself known in an increasingly clear manner. So during the mystical process, the soul attempts to come near, to make itself known, to exert influence in a way that the conscious self can understand, that the conscious self can perceive, and that the conscious self is able to follow what the soul is presenting or the work the soul is doing. That is why the mystics have a lot of visions of those things they most love. That is, if a mystic uses an advanced being as an object of his or her inspiration, the soul that is standing by this mystical process, this soul can even take on the appearance of that being. So the lives and the experiences of mystics are very diversified. There, from one mystic to another, we find a variety of different reactions, according to the ray of the soul, according to the type of soul that is guiding that process and is inspiring all that is happening. All of us are mystics in potential. Even those who are not seeking these things are potentially mystics. And one day, they will undergo this phase. One day, they will feel the need to bring together all their emotional and mental and physical forces to attain an ascent, to attain a higher alignment. So then a mystical process will begin to take place in them, and they will then undergo the experience that all mystics go through in different degrees. Those who enter this mystical way, those who begin to show these signs of mysticism, should know right from the start that where they will arrive and what they are really seeking is nothing material. The mystic has to know this consciously, because if the mystic knows that what he or she is seeking is not material, the person's mind and emotions do not create fantasies along the path of mysticism, because we can follow the mystical way without getting caught up in our imagination. Imagination comes up because the mystic still doesn't know that what he or she is seeking is not material, it's not matter. So the imagination creates images, it creates situations and states that are sometimes not very comfortable, not very healthy. But this happens because the mystic is not yet aware that the point to be attained and what is being sought and what is going to happen to the person has nothing to do with matter. And since the mystic is full of expectations and expects those kinds of things that happen in ordinary life to take place in the mystical life, for example, a special protection, favors from the higher energies, he or she then functions in the mystical life in the same way as in ordinary life. This mystical life then becomes full of fantasies. When this process is being lived in a healthy way, when the mystic is developing, when the mystic is finding this higher union in a way that is not unhealthy and not full of fantasies, all that the mystic attains, all that happens, is radiated by the mystic, who turns this into action to benefit the planet. So the mystic who enters this process and begins to seek things for his or her own self, consolation for self, peace for self. This is a mystic who has gotten sick, because the healthy mystic, the mystic who experiences this uplifting of consciousness in a healthy way, will share his or her state, state of joy, state of well-being. This mystic will invisibly, inwardly, and here we have the mystic's inner work that is not always conscious. Inwardly, the mystic pours all this over planetary life, over the aura of the planet, and he or she does not absorb and store and hold on to this mystical experience for himself or herself. So the mystic goes through several delicate processes A mystic may face a profound experience, an experience that is important for the individual, and he or she has to have the presence of mind to become detached from it, to surrender it, to let it flow from the inner levels over the planet and not to save it or hold it back for himself or herself. And this includes even the desire to continue having this kind of experience, the desire to go on having this type of experience for the sake of renewing oneself or feeling happy. All this hinders mystics from doing their work, which is to radiate to the planet this state that is being developed. Because of this, mystics can get sick. Mystics can even suffer mental illness. But the mental illness is not brought on by mysticism. Mental illness occurs because the mystics are absorbing the energy of the mystical process and are keeping it for themselves, holding it onto it selfishly for their own sake and not letting it be shared inwardly with all the planet. And of course, what guides the energy created through one's mystical path is one's higher self, one's soul. And so the mystic should always be tranquil, surrendered, neutral, impassive throughout the entire process so that the soul, the higher self, can channel all this energy that is being generated toward planetary work. Then the mystic is healthy. Then the mystic evolves. Then the mystic becomes luminous. Then the mystic works effectively in outer life as well. And one can notice how different the work of a mystic is, how much more convincing, how much stronger it is than the work of an ordinary person who is not on the mystical path, who is not receiving all this energy that mysticism brings, that mysticism develops. Now, this mystical process is for those who are not in a hurry. As soon as we are in a hurry, as soon as we are anxious for the process to happen, as soon as we are worried about what is happening in the process, this begins to change. It becomes a mystical process that no longer follows the mystical path of evolution, but it begins to go back to those desires, to those anxieties, to the personality's way of being before it entered this mystical path. So healthy mysticism is for those who are not in a hurry. It's for those who are able to wait for centuries until an answer comes. This is a healthy mystic, a tranquil mystic, one who is really working inwardly, one who is really serving the planet inwardly. So besides being this tranquil individual who is in no hurry at all, in any sense, when engaged in this process, mystics have to be willing to be persistent because there are certain phases of the mystical way in which we think that nothing is happening because things are happening on a level of which we are not yet aware. And mystics, in these phases, in these periods of lack of awareness of what is going on, mystics have to persist. So a mystic might have the personality traits of a mystic without having any of the experiences. To begin with, the person doesn't even know that he or she is a mystic, because there is no evidence of this. During certain stages, mystics go through long periods without any signs of their inner life. And if someone is already a mystic, if this has already become a part of the person, then he or she will persist even without seeing anything, even without knowing anything, even without feeling anything. And during this time of having to persevere when nothing seems to be happening, one must patiently be continually focused on one's soul and continually transcend all this, all these experiences that may disappear at certain times.
ele vive muito
and
observando
mystics
as coisas que vão
are
acontecendo.
Always observing things
Porque
that are happening.
Do que vai acontecendo,
because by observing
ele,
things that are
mística,
happening,
ele sabe
using
ali,
their mystic energy,
muitas coisas.
They know
ele
how to discern many things.
Muitas coisas
they know how to value many things within what is taking place.
Mística, tem aquela sabedoria
and their mystic energy has that wisdom
coisas,
that draws these things together and stimulates these things.
Então,
this comes from mysticism.
Estas coisas positivas,
so mystics stimulate these positive things in what is going on. And they will have to learn to divide their attention not only among the things that are happening, but they must also not forget that a large part or most of their attention has to be focused inwardly on inner circumstances, even if they are not given any signs. So mystics have to be very well balanced because they are continually pressured by the external side of life. Mystics are always in great demand outwardly, even more so when they already have this mystic magnetism that people perceive in them. So others begin to appeal to them insistently to demand their attention, and they even begin to pursue the mystics to remain in their aura. So here mystics have to be very well balanced because all this importuning by people who seek mystic energy through these individuals, all these demands should not be allowed to disturb a mystic's concentration. Mystics could be importuned from all sides by people who need their energy, but this does not mean that they pull back from their real focus. And sometimes the life of a mystic is very hard in this regard. Because he or she has this inclination to turn inward, this inner quest, this need to be totally within the self, and the external needs pull the mystics to the outside and demand their attention the whole time. And while attending to these external needs, because a real mystic does not disregard any request, if he or she is a true mystic, he or she is there to serve. So if these demands are far beyond what could be considered normal, the well-balanced mystic should go on maintaining alignment in spite of all the demands. Mystics do not really seek to serve out here. External service of the mystics is a consequence of their state. It's something that comes very naturally. But a mystic's real need is to fulfill the state, to resolve the state, and to contact the inner world, the world of the soul. This is a mystic's real need. The work of mystics out here in external life is an outcome, but it's not their vocation. A mystic's vocation is to go within, but he or she has to learn how to do this without failing to be out here fulfilling planetary work, very often on the material level. The real mystic lives this without any external structure. For example, those who are not yet real mystics, those who are seeking this but have not yet attained it, need to have a religion. For example, they need external worship, or they need someone to help them to stay in this line. This means that the mystic is still immature, because a mature mystic, one in whom the mystical process is taking place, one of the first things this mystic naturally gives up is all structures of religion. He or she gives up everything that is external in order to experience mysticism.
Então, organizada, religião formal,
so organized formal religion is for those who do have mystical tendencies but have not yet fulfilled even a small part of that tendency. Because as soon as it begins to develop within them, structured religion even gets in the way. Structured religion even becomes an obstacle. Because formal religion is a series of laws, a series of dogmas that have been compiled and structured, and they serve those who still cannot follow the mystical calling on their own. But when the mystical path begins, when someone enters the mystical way and begins to tread the mystical path, none of these dogmas are of any use. They can be of use as an indication when a mystic still cannot see things. But when he or she begins to perceive things directly and begins to see things directly and he or she really begins to undergo the mystical experience quite consciously, any and all religious structure is considered to be an obstacle, because formal religion follows a certain line that is the average need of all people, and each mystic has a different need in his or her own experience.
Então, se o homem vai encontrando dentro de si,
so if we find what we are seeking within ourselves, structured religions are unnecessary. And in certain aspects, they even get in the way. And you can see this in the biographies of the great mystics when they were serving within religious orders. You can see what a lot of trouble they had with their religious superiors. A religion is made up of dogmas. A religion is made up of pre-established laws that are put together and recognized. No doubt they are laws, but when a mystic is inside such a structure, he or she naturally clashes with the structure, because the mystical experience is always new. So if he or she begins to manifest the mystical experience inside religious structure, the least that can happen is for them to consider this person to be under the influence of the devil. But true, authentic mystics, if they have the light that shows them that they are to serve in that place, they are in a very special school to learn equilibrium. Because they cannot deny their mystical experience, and they have to go on balancing this experience inside that structure, inside those dogmas, and inside that work, because there is an assemblage of religious souls where they are serving. So, practically speaking, no great mystic of a religious order ever revealed all that he or she was feeling. So all these mystical experiences that we know of, the great mystics, the great saints, all this is the minimal part of their experience. It's only what could be revealed without clashing with the religious structures of the time. Now these mystics become practical. These mystics become useful to the planet as well,
unidos ao ocultismo.
When they are linked to occultism,
que não compreende leis ocultas,
so a mystic who does not understand occult laws is a mystic who is only able to serve up to a certain point. But he or she is not a complete mystic. The total mystic is what we call the practical mystic. When we refer to occultism, we are not talking about a product of the deviation of psychic forces, those things of psychic forces that use certain laws which are not evolutionary and which are also not known and are a part of certain practices. Occultism does not come from learning formulas like we see in books on magic or books in occultism. We become occultists not when we know these formulas and rules and learn them by heart, but we enter into occultism and we practice occultism when our consciousness becomes integrated into a greater consciousness. This is when we become occultists. Because the greater consciousnesses, the higher laws of consciousness, contain laws that are unknown here on our level. And occultism is the knowledge of law that is unknown, that is not apparent, and has not yet been written down. A true occultist today is in contact with laws and is in contact with what is possible but has not been written down anywhere. If these laws were written down, they would not be occult. All that is written in books on occultism as laws, all this is no longer occultism because it has already been exposed. True occultism has not been written down anywhere. True occultism is found on that level where one contacts the laws that are still unknown. So the occultism lives in secret within himself or herself. The occultist is very reticent because these are laws that deal with matter. They are laws that control laws of matter. These laws of matter that we know, they are laws that govern the laws of the mental body, laws that govern the laws of the astral body, so they are occult. This is why it is occultism. When these have been written down in psychology books, when these have already been found in books on magic, this has stopped being occultist to become common knowledge. So occultists are always evolving, they're always penetrating levels where they will find the unknown laws and where they will learn through mysticism to penetrate these laws, because mysticism leads them to fathom these laws and gives them the strength to handle these laws. And since mysticism draws these beings up to a higher level, they do not run the risk of expressing here what is occult. Occultism has always been included in the work of all the sages. All the true sages were occultists. Where did they get all the things that nobody knew? They got them from an unknown plane. And this capacity to enter an unknown plane and to bring down here things that nobody knows about, this is an occultist. So you can see that sages and occultists are the same thing. Do you see how foolish dictionaries are? And all those definitions, how foolish they are. There is no sage who is not an occultist. There is no sage who is not a mystic. There is no saint who is not an occultist. A true saint, for someone to be a saint, for someone to be extremely pure, he or she needs occultism. The saint must be in touch with the laws of purification that are not of common knowledge. Otherwise, everyone would be a saint. If certain laws of purification were known by all, and if everyone wanted to become truly purified, we would all be saints. Now, for the saints to attain this, to attain that level of purity, the saint has to be an occultist. The saint must be able to reach a level of the law of purification to which he or she is able to submit. And all the prophets are also occultists, otherwise they could not have reached a level where certain things are registered, where the prophets read, where they go to get the information they give us. They can only engage in this prophecy-making practice by being occultists. The mystic and occultist, that is, the practical mystic, has the ability to discern when healing should take place, and he or she should have the energy for that healing to occur. So in the field of healing, if this is followed, or in the work of healing, if there is a practical mystic there, we can expect any kind of miracle to happen. So if the healer is a practical mystic, anything can happen there.
o que deve because fazer as a mystic, não, o que é para ser the healer feito, sees what should be or should not be done, what is to be or is not to be done.
And as an occultist, the healer contacts the level where the energy of the law is located, and he or she brings this down and applies this, and thus resolves whatever is needed. So this practical mystic heals, transforms, transmutes, purifies, regenerates, builds new things, destroys what is obsolete. You can see this is a very different concept of the mystic. Because we have that image of the mystic always there gazing up with his mouth wide open. But if the mystic is practical, he or she is always doing things, doing all what humanity cannot do. So we have this normal level of doing things, and then we have this level of doing things like the practical mystic. Evidently, in this practice, very naturally, very spontaneously, the human ego is gradually transcended, and the individual life is focused on supramental nuclei. It is polarized on supramental life. And no longer on a life of deduction, a life of reflection, of mental exaltation. And then manipulation of laws of matter begins to take place on a level that no normal person who is neither a mystic nor an occultist can propose to enter, can propose to fulfill. If a manifestation of this kind begins in an individual, if the mystical experience begins to grow subjectively in an individual, and if this individual begins to gain some knowledge of occultism, and if this individual is not yet prepared, is not yet mature, then many sickly manifestations begin to appear, even in the occultist and the practical mystic who is still immature. Because this person might have the techniques, might have the know-how, and his or her nature might already be tending toward this, but pride begins to show up, vanity begins to show through, reactions begin to appear when something comes up that seems to be controlling the situation, that seems to be watching over the situation. This means that the person is not yet mature enough for what is being experienced. So the life of the individual's monad or of the soul guides him or her into the mystical experience very gradually and very carefully. Because as soon as we have a different experience, an experience that is not part of the routine of other people, pride and vanity and all these forces arise in such a way that we are not able to control them. Because when they are stimulated by this state, these things arise much more forcefully, and they come through much stronger and much more disguised due to all the mystical energy present and all the knowledge of laws that are occult that the individual may already have. So one's consciousness may have a mechanism to disguise vanity and pride that one's consciousness itself cannot perceive, and a person cannot evaluate when caught in false modesty, false humility, how vain he or she is being, and how proud he or she is being. At this point, one's consciousness goes through very delicate trials, extremely delicate trials. When we desire these things, and when we think about these things, we create forms on the mental level and on the astral level. And these forms begin to attract the attention of beings on those levels who are still taking the first steps in mysticism, who are still beginning to contact this kind of work and this line of evolution. And so our mystical forms on the astral and on the mental levels would have to be forms that are not created by our imagination. We have to be very careful with our imagination, because our imagination creates things on these levels in a much more powerful way than ordinary imagination, than normal imagination. So we have to be very careful with our imagination, very careful with the thoughts we radiate, with the thoughts we emit, with the ideas we form about people. Because in this stage, all this is very powerful. And this becomes very magnetic in the mental field and in the astral field. Well, today, practical mystics, or those who are preparing to become practical mystics, or who are beginning this work involving mysticism and occultism, have a lengthy task ahead of them. Practical mystics today, that is, those who are working with occultism should be experiencing or should be attracting the fusion of their levels of consciousness. This is the work of practical mystics in these days. So today, practical mystics are merging their levels of consciousness. They are synthesizing their levels of consciousness. Practical mystics today are revealing a feeling that is a synthesis of their emotional feelings, of their mental feelings, and of the feelings of their soul. This is today's practical mystic. Mystics have to have feelings that are not personal. The feelings they are expressing are not their own. They are manifesting a synthesis of their own feelings, of the feelings of their souls, and of the feelings of the planetary being, if they are already evolved practical mystics today. And in the field of occultism, today, practical mystics are helping to have the higher law of evolution introduced and for it to replace the law of karma. Because one cannot work openly against the law of karma in people, since people have to live the material law of karma, karma in matter, karma in the bodies. But by the occultist work, through work that is not explicit, through the work of the practical mystic, one begins to attract the higher law of evolution into the law of karma. This is occult work. To do this work, one has to be in the occultism of today, which is not the same as the occultism of yesterday that dealt with many other things that were necessary for that time. And the other aspect of the work of the practical mystics today is the revelation and expression of the feminine polarity. Here, the practical mystic has a broad field of work. This feminine polarity that is to be expressed and that the practical mystic can express has nothing to do with the gender of the body in which the mystic is incarnated. The mystic may be in a body of either gender, but the feminine polarity should always be expressed in an occult way, always be manifested in an occult way. The mystic is always radiating the feminine polarity, and this the individual must learn to do as one of the tasks to be carried out today. And many cosmic powers and many cosmic forces are being brought into the earth at this time, forces that are unknown on planet Earth. It is up to the practical mystic to recognize them. It is up to him or her to be open to these forces, which can mean being different to everyone else if the person is not an occultist and has no control over self. So the person has to be an occultist in contact with these new forces, receiving these new forces, and he or she must radiate these new forces in an occult way without anyone realizing it, without becoming noticed. The person must have the formation of an occultist. And new rays also begin to be activated. We used to receive the manifestation of 7 rays, and today we have the 21 rays drawing near. And here, the practical mystics have work for several incarnations. That is, working with these yet unknown rays, and with the transformations taking place through these unknown rays. So practical mystics today
have a very accelerated field of action. Practical mystics today could very soon be manifesting openly a ray that had never been manifested before here. So the mystical experience, the occult experience, is this living the new rays, so that this can be introduced, so that this can be expressed in an orderly way within the line of evolution at its present stage, and within all the precepts that the inner hierarchy of the earth knows. And practical mystics have a completely untouched path to tread, that is to recognize the cosmic signs. Because a long time ago, occultists got to know and they revealed the signs of astrology. These were the occultists of the past, but today's practical mystics, today's mystics and occultists have to know, to reveal, to manifest the cosmic signs. This is all waiting to be done. This is work in the mystical line and in the occult line. So, today, mysticism linked to occultism makes it possible for us to get to know cosmic energies that before were inaccessible. And today's practical mystic will soon go through the experience of not being in this material time the way normal people are, feeling that time passes, feeling that things are moving slowly, or feeling that things are speeding up. All this belongs to ordinary humanity. The practical mystic today, the occultist mystic, no longer has this notion of time. For practical mystics, there is no longer past, present, and future. In practicing their mysticism, they don't know if something happened in the past, or is happening now, or will happen in the future. Everything is happening in their consciousness. Everything is taking place in a synthesized manner. So today's mystical experience is to be in the eternal now in a way that each mystical temperament will reveal. The mystical temperament will show this, and the practical mystic lives always in the eternal now. Others think they die, others think they are born. All these things are linked to material time. Others see that things are happening slowly, that things should be moving quicker. So the practical mystic today lives above all these things. He or she lives in the eternal now, and each one of us is going to be a practical mystic or is already being a practical mystic in his or her own way. But this experience of being in the eternal present, this experience of not noticing time go by, so of not being in a hurry to get anywhere, this is the basic experience of the practical mystic today. And this experience that time does not exist or that time is completely different to what we see going by here in ordinary minds and on the clocks, the experience that time is something completely different is what today's practical mystic will get to know and will get to live. And so consciousness does not begin by being totally present in a process like this. Consciousness is manifested gradually, is revealed gradually, and consciousness grows. So the process of following the way of a practical mystic implies a great expansion of consciousness. Consciousness keeps on expanding. So one practical mystic might be more or less aware than another. And here we have the various levels of consciousness to be developed in this mystical line, which is a way. So when the thought for the day states that the practical mystic is the greatest force of the world, this may seem exaggerated, but perhaps it's really not so exaggerated. The greatest force in the world in the ambit of forces that humanity is able to develop.